Welcome to Journals of the Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. This is Mary. We're going to sort of visit a different aspect of life and plumb the depths of the spirituality in the real estate business. Natalie Mullinex, my guest, has been an entrepreneur most of her life, and she's really proves daily that the real estate business is as much about spiritual values and heart as high finance. Her desire to help people from every walk of life customize their buying and realize their dreams has inspired her to create unique systems in the real estate business. Welcome, Natalie.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure having me on to being on your show today. I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to it. So,
yes.
Absolutely, I'm looking forward today to talk about. I know your platform is spiritual, and you are amazing. Thank you. I just really am honored to be on your show, and it's funny when we just said in the introduction how real estate, how we tie in the spiritual in real estate as well, and it's the way. It's so interesting because so many people are the secular world and the spiritual world. And even today with the changes global-wide, I think more and more people are seeing that we're all connected. The spiritual and the business is connected. And it's all about people and love and peace. And, you know, there was a time and a day, as you all know, too, where you couldn't cross the line at all, right? You had to keep business.
Sure.
And business, and we still have to be professional, but it was like business, don't you discuss spiritual, you know, maybe you could say what church you go to.
Ice cold breeze going through the room if you brought that up in a business meeting.
Isn't that funny? And that's not even that long ago, is it? It's like it's amazing that how things have changed. And yeah, and I don't know. I guess being entrepreneurial, and growing through the business and growing through it. It's just my heart and passion. I'm so thrilled that I'm able to bring that to my platform and in my business on a daily basis, and out there to the world. It's the other thing too. When you own your own business, you're not getting fired, right? The same as if you tried to, I don't want to say the line, but push it too far. If you're working for somebody, you know, you may have more problems that way. Yeah.
In this format, often we find that people started out either by emergency or by being steered by other people into something that they really didn't care for. And then later in life, they finally discovered and pushed through and really, really reconnected with what they were all about. But it seems as if you gravitated to the real estate business rather early. But what was it like for the young Natalie, what was your dream? What did you really think you were going to be when you grew up?
You know, it's funny. I thought that I was going to be an actress when I was about 5 years old. I always had this vision, and I thought I was going to have a mansion, and my mother on one side, my father on the other side, because they didn't always get along, and I'd be in the middle. and then I was going to be a really well-known actress. I knew I would make lots and lots of money. But it was funny, even at that young age, I wasn't thinking about the money for me. I was thinking that I would be helping the starving children, and I would picture that you could see the starving children in Africa, you know, with the bellies, large bellies blown out.
Uh-huh.
And that's really, that's what I really always envisioned that I would do, And it's, you know, that serving, that giving back, that helping. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting how, you know, you're right, we do go into some things because we're forced into it, or it's life. And I guess it can take years, right, Mary? Years for us to finally say, you know, like I know with me.
Some people, it takes a lifetime. You know, Grandma Moses didn't start painting until she was 80.
No, really? Really?
Really? Oh, yeah,
really?
Absolutely.
Oh, that gives me, makes my heart sing. That is so neat. Really? I mean, no, 'cause that, I mean, I remember hearing before about a gentleman who didn't know how to read or write, and he learned in his 90s, and then he wrote a book. But I don't know what the name
isn't
of it. But I mean, so
isn't that incredible? Yes.
Well, you know, it really gives us it gives us hope and spirit in it, and letting us see that we really can follow that voice inside, right? I think it's
that's right. And you know, I'll bet you anything that in your real estate business, you have from time to time helped people to realize their dreams by helping them to find just the perfect place to work from and at a price they could afford and with amenities that you came up with somehow. I just feel
well, it's funny with my business. I've been in so long that when you go back to the days where I was doing, you know, taking people out into homes and back and forth, and not that I still don't, you know, I'm still actively involved in selling and listing, but I'm more involved on the negotiating side sometimes, and also training, et cetera, you know, mm-hmm. with it. But so we're having to close the deal. Funny, when we go back to the old way of doing real estate, now so many buyers and sellers are looking on the internet that they're telling us what they want to see. You know, they're telling everybody, their agents, what they want to see. They've kind of narrowed it down and picked things out. So even though we need to learn to listen to them and find out their needs and be able to connect it, that is an art in itself, because sometimes people will say they want one thing and they really want something else until they figure it out. So that's what we try to help them. But it's funny when you say that to me, the old way, when we didn't have people using the internet, and when I first got in the business, they were actually had cards, listing cards that people, the properties would be on. And then it was computerized. The computers, the MLSs were starting up, I believe it was the 80s. So we could get the data, but the customer or the buyer couldn't find the data, so we'd have to match them with properties, and more so than now. Now, you know, people are, like, again, because of the internet, are doing so much of that themselves. It's kind of, but yeah, it's interesting. You do have a lot of situations where you're involved in people's lives and being able to say, hey, are you sure this is what you really want, or no, you don't want this, or, you know, so it's yeah.
It just reminded me of one of the most amazing prayers I ever heard. Dear God, please give me what I need instead of what I think I want.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Please shut all doors if this is not where I'm supposed to go.
Yes. So I can just see that in you, just knowing you. I know that that's what you did.
Yeah. Yeah. My heart really was always I wanted to go into acting. I did get into acting in high school, and you know, and then of course my life changed. I had my son very young. I got married very young, and divorced young. So, real estate. It's interesting. So I love people so much, and I always did. That so many people were like, "Wow, you just love what you're doing." You know how you can. You see somebody in an industry and you say they love it or they don't love it. And and I was like, no, I don't totally love it. It's not my total dream passion, but I liked it. And it was, you know, I did really, really well quickly. So when you start making the money and you're able to provide for your family and those things, it does help, you know, it really does help. But so when you're talking spiritually with people, I think, you know, I wonder, you know how you hear everyone, when kids are kids, you know, maybe the boys want to be firemen and the girls want to be teachers, or I wanted to be an actress, or you hear people talk about different professions and dreams that they have. I wonder how much of that really does carry over through our lives, how much we really know when we're little that we don't give ourselves credit for, or how much of that is from us hearing other people or seeing this, or maybe the family members in something and you want to follow them. I don't know. I wonder how much of that affects us spiritually.
So many times people are forced into, you know, something that they get pretty good at, and they make a lot of money at it, but they hate it so much, and it drains them so much spiritually that they wind up spending most of the money on a psychiatrist couch.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Because they're doing it, but they don't want to do it anymore. Yeah.
But what is it that keeps you going, that keeps that excitement that makes you feel at the end of the day that you've done something kind of special?
Well, I guess for me, I'm driven and I have a vision, and my in real estate, I guess with my personality and always wanting to serve and help, I got put in the situation of actually pioneering and creating real estate menu systems back in around 94, not knowing that that's what I was creating, so to speak. I didn't know. I saw it as a way of the future by about 96. So what keeps me going is my vision. You know, I have this strong vision. I have a lot of faith in God, and I believe we're all here to serve. You know, and I have this big vision. Sometimes people may have a smaller vision or to be happy with this or that, and mine isn't a materialistic vision. It's serving a lot of people. So that's what keeps me going, because I've been through trials and tribulations, as you know, there's some times where you just want to absolutely quit, and then you get rest and you go, wait a minute, I can't quit, and I can't quit. And I think it's because of that vision. If I didn't have the vision, I would have quit. And I also think I would have quit a long time ago if it was just about selling houses. You know, it's definitely never just been selling houses. It's always been, you know, working with the people, getting to know the people, the relationships. You know, in this line of work, when you're dealing with the buyer and seller directly a lot and you build a relationship, you're getting to know them, they open up to you. I mean, we've had the benefit of helping people, you know, avert divorces. I don't want to say being the main person divorced, but just helping with being able to kind of counsel as a naturally, you know, just person to person through life experiences. And, you know, I've dealt with thousands and thousands of people, and that's not an exaggeration. So you deal with people from all walks of life. It's an interesting business because all walks of life, all different nationalities, different cultures. For me, that makes it interesting. You know, you have people doing businesses in different areas. When I first started out, I was in Reisterstown, Maryland area, and I was working that area specifically. And it's if somebody's brand new and they get in and they're going to work in an area, it's nice to just, they can do that within 30 minutes from their home, and they can cultivate and build a nice book of business and get to know people. And it's definitely a people business. So when you ask me what keeps me going, it's that vision to serve and to help. Now, is it totally real estate? I don't know, because I really like the healing aspect of it, you know, where people want to serve, to help people grow. So that's a great question. It's just it's a long answer because it's the vision, but there's a lot of steps through my life that kept me realizing I didn't want to quit the vision, you know. So yeah, and in our business, that's the difficult part though, is to know when to walk away and let someone else run that vision for you, or you know how to do it, because it can get very overwhelming.
How to delegate is important, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and finding good people.
You mentioned something about the real estate menu system. I'd love to know a little bit more about that. It sounds sounds like a breakthrough.
It actually is. We have a trademark on real estate menu systems, but I would like to take it to where it should be, because now so many other things are coming to the forefront. Back in the 94, around 94, we had the Gulf War. After 91, 92, the effects from the Gulf War. And I was in Maryland and owned my own brokerage. And my agents would come in, and I'd go out, and I was doing a lot of sales then at the time, too, and in and out of people's homes. And we kept seeing a pattern, and this was due to the economy, where if someone had purchased a home within, say, the past 3 years, and they needed to sell due to relocation, death, divorce, you know, whatever, they had to sell, and they weren't in a situation where they could wait until the market really turned around. We ran into situations where we couldn't help them because there wasn't enough money in equity to even pay our commission, you know, to do that.
Oh, and, wow. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So me being the type of person I am, always trying to, I mean, I'm concerned about the people, you know, I was said, we can't just turn people away. I don't think it's right. Let's start offering something that they can utilize. So that's where I started our For Sale by Owner program, where people could just go into the MLS for a small fee and they could take mm-hmm. over, and they could save a lot of monies. And it wasn't started as a discount. Model or anything like that. It was actually the opposite. We had a lot of full service business, and I didn't want to throw away our full service business if it was going to be perceived as a discount model. So I just kept thinking, and you know, you pray and you listen to your inner voice. Mm-hmm. And I just kept thinking. I thought, you know, a menu. I could just picture a menu. I'm a very visual person, and maybe that is what keeps me going a lot, because I see the future type of thing, but then I have to chunk it down. And so I'm Sagittarius, so I'm that horse, you know, I'm already the person on the horse with the shooting the arrow, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We're constantly mm-hmm. going. So back then I started creating a menu, and the first menu actually had real estate dishes on the menu from a restaurant that's still in existence called Harriman House in Reisterstown, Maryland. And we had, I mean, now, of course, the menus are just, you know, the programs, et cetera, but we had mushroom fricassee and, different dishes. You know, and just being creative, and that spelled out what you get for this. And again, the last thing that I wanted to do was throw away the full service business. So that's how the menu was created. But I was the first one in Maryland to offer that, and then I brought it to Hawaii later, and was the first to offer it here. And you know, it, way before all this stuff was going on, you know, that now you see people can do the flat fees, they can get in for, you know, it's just a different, whole different environment. Uh-huh. And for me, I'm the type of person that does always try to go and do what I wanted to do in my life. You know, I always wanted to come back to Hawaii, so I've not been afraid to upset the apple cart at times to go follow my dreams. And But at the same time, that can have drastic effects too, right, as far as time goes by fast, right? And then all of a sudden you're going, oh, my gosh, wait a minute, you know, and so, so that's kind of what I did. So the real estate menu systems actually give the buyer, now they give buyers and sellers the ability to customize your process. So we believe people have choices, and it's really great, and it's amazing, but it's amazing to me when I go, oh, my gosh, we did that in Maryland, and then in 99, 2000, I come to Hawaii, done it in Hawaii, and it just doesn't seem, it seems hard to believe now that it's 2015. And you go, wait a minute, so my vision I started a long time ago, we have members and affiliates, but that was to grow our membership association of agents and brokers that offer these programs. And interestingly enough, everybody, no matter what line of work you're in, no matter what you're doing, everybody needs education, right? Somebody has to show them the steps, show you the steps, so you can, you know, not try to reinvent the wheel and do that. So that's what we do, and that's my baby. That's my passion with the Real Estate Membership Association, and also give support so that people can. In our industry, you need to vent. You need to talk about things. You have to. Even though there's that, we were talking about that crossing the line. It's kind of nice to be able to cross the line these days where we couldn't before. You know, ask personal questions or, you know, get to be friends. Yeah. People always became friends, but keep it business, not really talk about spiritual. Now I can be in any situation and just say how much I love God and I believe in God, and you know, I'm not going to offend anybody. But it's neat to be able to do that. And so with our membership association, it's also a support group where people could just, they can vent, ask questions, you know, because it isn't just real estate. It's not just, it's all about the whole caboodle, right?
So. It is. It's people's lives, and it's people, also communities' lives from time to time, because I'm sure in a lot of the bigger projects you've had, you have made an impact on a community.
Right, that's true. That's true. That's true. I mean, you do get involved. You do definitely get involved with communities. And well, with one of the things, I mean, we do, we also network with brokers in other countries through FIOPSI, Proxio, and then our own network. One of the things that is nice here in the United States, and I'm sure this is everywhere, but in the United States, in the 50 states, they do have years of, you know, the city, county, state rules, policy, regulations, and then they have zoning. Zoning's put in place to help communities also for different types of use, different properties. You have a lot of rules, a lot of things to go through. So the communities, the theory is to set them up so they do work and you have an impact on communities. So they have the area designated for parks, for services, for schools, the roads. You know, that's why you'll go into some areas are more cosmopolitan and others are more country, and that's different zoning. So, you know, your city is going to have high-density use, and you get out into the counties, and they're going to have more agricultural, farming, rural use. And so, yes, I've been involved in projects. I'm involved in a small project right now in Maryland, which is going to be around 23 homes. But I've been involved in larger projects over the years in Maryland, and then also some projects in Hawaii. And no matter where you are, whichever state you're in, those rules are there to protect people. You are involved in a community because communities need shopping centers, communities need services. You know, it's interesting. There's so many in real estate. People think, oh, you go sell somebody a house, you go take them and show them houses. Oh, you must work Sundays, right? You know, like, it's like, you know, well, don't get me wrong. A lot of people do, and I did, and I've paid my dues. Believe me, I've done every bit of it you can imagine, and I'm still very involved in the sale end of it. In real estate, it's the parts of it that even though when I first got in, I loved it to get in, and then I was doing well and was able to provide for my son, my family. And then, you know, went through the motions because I just grew, and sometimes you can grow too fast. But it's interesting because you are involved in community. I've been part of community meetings, and people want to know. But I don't know. It's kind of like we use services every day, right? We get in our car, or we take the subway or the buses or whatever. People use services every day. They go out and eat. You go to the stores. It's funny when you really see how we're all interconnected, you know, in these services. And a lot of people aren't thinking, just like with real estate, someone may say, oh, you're commercial real estate. Oh, you're residential real estate. And not realizing that you can be working through both and there's different scenarios that come up. So, yeah, the impact on communities is huge. And I've been involved in, you know, situations, too, where you need to get the community to support what the builders or the developers want to do, right? Because voices get heard through the zoning offices and through the community, and people have a say and have a vote. So it's really working together and making sure, you know, little things, streets, curb and gutters, sidewalks, all of that the infrastructure has to be put in so that this all works and runs and works well. So, yeah, it's been an interesting ride, and I can say there's a lot of many more aspects of this industry than people realize. And us, with our real estate menu systems, are geared more towards mom-and-pop brokers, the smaller brokers who need support. We do have some RE/MAX agents in there because they can offer programs, and then there's some companies that aren't allowed to offer menu programs because they do only full service. So yeah, we have a variety of a reach, and it's kind of neat. It's really interesting. When I think about the big picture on how this all ties in together, you know, it's definitely interesting. So, but and funny, in life, everybody assumes, you know, if you do this, or they assume you do this, or they assume you know, and it's not, it's.
Oh, I know.
Isn't that funny?
It's the pigeonholing.
Yeah, it is.
If you're this, you have to be that, and that's how you are. I mean, it's, you know, they just try to lump you together, which is such a pain, isn't it?
It is a pain, and it really forces you to really, really work on who you are and stay firm in what you're doing, you know, kind of thing. It's and stay true to what you want to do. It's because unfortunately in society we're very we're so more global now with the social networking. But I find there's a lot of prejudice out there, and it shouldn't be. You know, hopefully, as we evolve spiritually, more and more people will be less critical, less, you know. But it's there. So, yeah, you have to go through all that. So my story is a little bit different because I've always beat to my own drum, but I deal with so many people in so many situations in so many environments because of my choice of not just doing real estate locally in the one area, which is how I started out, right? Locally in the one area, it was heaven. It was wonderful in the sense that, you know, you're in the community, you raise your children. I have one son. You go get involved in the PTA. You get involved in community issues, just like the building developing. Chamber of Commerce, you know, you get involved in your community needs and more. I would say for me back then it was way more hands-on in that community. So, and everybody, you know, people do identify, right? Part of their identity is where they're from or their community. And people can put up a good fight for that too. When I say that, if there's causes, you know, or there's issues, people identify And so for me, that was a wonderful time, actually, even though at the time I didn't realize how wonderful it was, but I was happy, and it was a wonderful time because you are connected, you're involved. But me, I wanted to go to other areas and do business in other areas. So it's a little bit more versatile, and it can be a little challenging, too, because it's like speaking. You know, you speak speakers. And I do speaking and training on the real estate side, not the other. And, of course, we lace in motivational because it's all part of it. But speakers have to really learn, like, who their audience is, who they're speaking to. You know, and if they go into different countries, they have to know the customs. They can't, you know, they have to know when you look people in the eye, when it's an insult to look people in the eye, which is in the U.S.
Right.
Here we're... In the U.S., if somebody doesn't look us in the eye, don't we go, wait a minute, are they lying? What's going on? What's wrong, right?
Hiding?
And that's not the case everywhere, though. And so, there's a lot of things you have to learn that way, even when you're in the real estate industry, doing it from the way that I'm doing it now after all these years. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
It is, but then I would imagine that when you're dealing with people's needs, people are people, wherever they are in the world, and there's a lot of dealing with down to earth needs like home and business and everything that you can see the qualities where people are similar in
exactly.
as different as their society is, the human needs and the spirituality and the care for the family and the concern for their community and their neighborhood and whatever, surely that's universal.
Absolutely. No, I agree. I agree. It is, I mean, unless I guess, well, I don't want to say a certain country because I could be getting politically, unless you're in certain countries that I better be careful there. No, it is. I think it is universal to people are growing and they love their families and want places to live that are comfortable. You know, your environment is very important. And, you know, one thing, it's funny, it sounds kind of silly, but me on a personal level, I was blessed to do well in real estate and buy properties and do all that, and then I downsized and gave up a lot when I came to Hawaii and did some of that again and then downsized again, kind of, you know, making changes. I was the type, I wasn't, when I first bought my first house, it was like 25, I my vision was still, I was taking care of my son, doing things, and looking at the bigger picture. I wasn't so concerned about the immediate property, like it wasn't the end all, if that makes sense. I was looking at,
sure.
Funny, but I don't know, because some people I've seen with buying over the years, it was like that was the only thing they were concerned about was that right there, and that was it, and that was fine. And I think that's probably a good thing, too, when people are able to just chunk down and just be happy with right that part and not, me, I was always looking at the big vision and saying, okay, down the road I'll do this with this or this with this. But, yeah, it's mm-hmm. pretty – so we get into that, you know, homes is where our heart is. I say that on our website, home is where your heart is, and it all starts with your heart and soul.
Sure.
And, yeah, it's interesting because it makes us all different, right? It makes us all go into different directions and – But what you said earlier, I think, with about sometimes people do something and they really hate it and they don't want to do it forever. I didn't think I would be doing real estate forever. And I think with my maybe my drive and creativity to go into acting and presenting, and I love the presenting part. I love honing and learning the skills to speak and present you know, that training environment. I think with me, and I think I got bored easily and had to find different ways to do the structure maybe, and that's part of why I probably created some of the, you know, with the menu was because of the need for people that couldn't pay to sell their house, and it wasn't fair to say walk away and say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go to foreclosure. So I created a way that would work. You know, now out there, people are doing this all over the place. It's not a new thing these days, but it was new then. Mm-hmm. Not done in that way. So, but what you were saying, bringing back that back to where I do, I consider myself so blessed. And I guess now I met you, Mary, right after my brother died. So through the worst time in my life, the grief was so bad. And I have a lot of empathy for people going through that because I think I was blessed to be able to come and go and do the things I wanted to do, even if I wasn't fully in love with the industry. It allowed me the freedom to create and you learn a lot of hard lessons too, because when you decide to own your own companies and not just work for somebody, it's you're carrying the brunt of everything, all the overhead, all the money. So it's definitely a different world. But I hear people lots of times and I go, really? People say to me, I know one woman had said not too long ago, oh, I worked this job for, I hated it. I couldn't wait till I retired. And now I'm so glad I'm out of it. And I was thinking, really? Like, hated it? See, I would have never. And I hear that a lot where people are just waiting, you know, to work the 20 years and retire. And I never thought like that about it. I would have quit, literally, a lot sooner.
That's scary, isn't it? That's really scary when you hear that.
But a lot of people do that, though, you know?
I know.
Would have quit a lot sooner, though. I would have quit a lot. You know, now I'm getting to the age where I want to complete things, so I'm going to stop certain parts of what I do. But interesting, huh? But it odd that just because like with your show and with the spiritual and the, I mean, it's what it's all about, right? It really is. Because at the end of the day,
I think so. So yes, when you stop and think, I mean, when I first started back into the corporate world after owning my own businesses, you know, I would hear these people saying, no, I don't know how to do that. I don't want to learn that, because every time you learn to do something, they make you do it. And I get here at 9 o'clock. I leave at 5 o'clock. On Friday, I pick up my check, period.
Mm.
And I'm saying, what a miserable way to live.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I imagine this is something you've never had to deal with in your whole life.
It's funny you say that, because I am dealing with it more now than I was ever before, in the sense where, because you wonder, are people doing it because they don't know any other way to do it, to be able to earn the living, to be able to pay for the, you know, support their family, right? Are they doing it because...
Right, and they're afraid to give up what they have for something that does not work out.
Right, that's it, and not knowing. So, yeah, I think with me, I've gone the other spectrum sometimes. I go, it can be overwhelming, and say, for me, I think in my industry, I've gotten to points at times where I just said, I've outgrown this. I can't do this part of it anymore. You know, I've outgrown it. It's costing me too much. I know with me right now, with the brokerage businesses, I didn't want a lot of agents under us, and now it's a lot of strain and a lot of things. So I think I can't imagine somebody doing it 20, 30 years. I just can't. But
mm-hmm.
And I also believe perception is funny, too, because you can take a situation and how you look at it's going to change, right? So if somebody, I know one woman I know on the East Coast that was talking about her, she can retire in 5 or 6 years, and she's got all these years into this business, and some things with management changed, and she's thinking about getting out early, and it's like, well, why would you, will it really cut your, you know, pay or your pension, whatever, if you, and yeah, it would cut a lot. And I can't, mm-hmm. You can only tell people what you think. You don't give them their opinion unless they're asking. But I said, I would think you'd want to put up with it for 5 years if it means the outcome is going to be worth it, right? And she says, I don't know that I can. It may not be worth it to me. So I think in scenarios when it's short term and you have a plan, then you can kind of reposition what you're doing and get through that, you know, instead of just quitting. But on the onset, if somebody's got 20, 30 years ahead of them, no, I definitely I wouldn't advise it. But, you know,
yeah.
At the end of the day, it's funny because we're gonna die. We're going to go. We're going to be, as Tony Robbins says, worm food, right?
and
I mean, I hate to put it that way. You know, I believe in heaven, and I believe our spirit goes, but I don't want to rush it, you know, so I don't know. I think, do you think, Mary, because like you had said, and you had said that you see people doing what they hate, and then they end up on the psychiatrist's couch, right? Do you think they end up there because of the psychiatrist's couch? I mean, because they hate it, and they end up there because they say, okay, I got to see a psychiatrist because they help people get through these problems. Do you think they end up there because they really picked the worst job, or they just didn't spend the time initially figuring out who they are and what job they go into?
A lot of times young people are pushed in a certain direction by the guidance counselor in high school or college, and they would say, listen, engineering is the great field right now. We're starving. The company's starving for engineers, or we need more nurses. We need more teachers. This is where your careers are opening up. This is where your opportunities are. This is where the country needs you, or the people need you. And they're pushed into something when they really want to play saxophone in a jazz band.
Wow.
Or they really want to write poetry, or they really, really are dreaming of traveling. And so they are almost pushed into something that they might wind up very, very good at it, and it's sucking the life out of them.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes very much sense. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's
what
why they wind
to
up. That I'm so well respected in this career. I make so much money. I have this beautiful place in the country, but I'm miserable. Why am I miserable?
That's not worth it.
And they don't
that's
they don't even
it.
Know it doesn't. They don't realize that their soul, their spirit is screaming, this is not what I want to do.
Right. That's. And you can hear that loud and clear, right? You can hear that loud and clear.
I can.
I know you're probably with
me
trying to say, Natalie, this is what I tell you now. you can hear that loud and clear, right, when somebody's not happy with what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what I admire about you so much is that you take the work that you're doing and you creatively add on to it so that it still is interesting to you.
Yeah, I do.
And it serves people even better.
But you know,
and use things that most people in your business don't do.
No, absolutely. And I was definitely the pioneer, and I've got to tell you, when I brought these programs to Hawaii, you know what they say about the pioneer? You're the pioneer with the arrows in your back?
Yeah, right.
It's true. I bet it's true. You have to have that vision, and you have to know it's for other people. Now, the funny thing that's a detriment in my personality, if I thought it was just for me, I would have never done it. I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have bothered.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And of course.
But people don't real. But we're getting into a society that people are getting so me now that they don't appreciate it or say thank you or whatever. Then you get to a point you're going, why did I do all? What am I doing? What's the point of this? Because nobody's even, you know. And it's definitely a tough situation to be in at times, you know. But I was willing to be that pioneer and forge forward in it and say, hey, fought for the limited service things, fought for the language changes, fought for the right to do. Situations with programs when people said no, no, no. And the ones that were saying no, 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 it was because they just wanted all the money. They truly, truly didn't want to lose any of the money, you know. Seriously.
Uh-huh.
So, but it's funny you say these things because and you're a great counselor, you know that. You just said about the people, maybe they have the things, they have the identity, they're doing well, they're making the money, but they're miserable, right? I think that we grow. If we're going to grow through our life, we have different periods in our life, right, where we're, you know, when our babies are little, my son's little, you know, you'll fight for the world. You're going. I went through things, and I never thought about, you know, being hungry or being going without, and I left my ex when my son was 6 months old with less than $100. Then I went back three and a half years later and then divorced him when my son was six and a half, seven. Well, it took two years to go through. I didn't have any fear back then. I wasn't thinking about that. So I was just go, go, go. Because, you know, we have the energy, we have the drive, and we have somebody to take care of, right?
Right.
We have somebody to do. I find, and I know a lot of women and men, and it seems like women are worse, but men do it too. It's very easy to not take care of ourselves and be out there and take care of everybody else, right? And then be taken advantage of by the ones that don't have that problem at all. But the ones that don't have that problem at all usually don't have a conscience either, so you have to be very careful, right? They don't have a problem about not taking care of themselves, or the only ones they care about is themselves, right? And when I say that, I'm just saying that to extremes to make the point here of how it can be, and how it's so wonderful to be able to get out and do. And when I was looping back to the psychiatrist couch, I know with me, I didn't know I would do as well as I did because I was hungry and I had to take care of my son. I wasn't getting child support. He kept fighting that the courts ordered it and he didn't pay it. And I mean, it was just never-ending saga. I'm still due money to this day that, you know, what do you do, right? I was so hungry. I didn't go out there and become so successful in our industry, go to the top, get awards, get in, do so many sales, because I was hungry and I had to take care of my son, and that forced me to say no, we're not going to end up in the gutter. And I worked, and then when you do it and it happens, you go, wow, this is cool because I did it, right? And did it again and again. For me, because I'm so independent and entrepreneurial, I started my own companies, and I, you know, spent too much money, I think, in my opinion, running the businesses. But we can all look back at our lives and go, I should have, could have, would have done it this way. But the experience and the lessons are great. But I do remember thinking, no, I'll probably stay in it for 10 years and I'll be out, right? And here I am,
mm-hmm.
30 years later, still in it. And so I didn't expect it to go. I didn't expect to stay in it this long. And I didn't. I did find periods of time where, no, I don't like doing this part. I don't like this part. I didn't like the schlepping part so much, you know. But when you're younger, you can do it. So it's interesting.
Sure.
The beauty about when you're entrepreneurial or you are in your own business this way, you can be more flexible, but you have to come up with a lot more money than if you just needed a paycheck, right? So to speak, to pay your own bills.
Exactly.
So
it's
a tough one, you know, it's the crossroads, but I do think that we have this identity that sticks with us, and maybe it's an identity crisis because, to be able to step away and say, okay, I'm finished now. I'm not going to, I don't know. Maybe it's hard to, or maybe it's the fear that if you do go and do these other things, I mean, you can do hobbies or what, but if you do fully give it up and go in another direction, will there be that what if, you know?
Yeah. One of the interesting things when you say you first started out wanting to be an actress, really reach the public. Here you are now. You're a blog radio host, and the amazing thing to me is that you kind of split it down the middle, and you've devote the first part to real estate, and the second part to spirituality. How did you come up with that?
My heart and soul. My heart and soul. And we intertwined. I for years, I would say to myself, okay, dear God, I want to do self-help. Why is it real estate? And then it came to me. You know, it's interesting because I'm 53 right now, and you know how and you're older than me just because we know each other, and I know you're open about that, right? And
I'm definitely old enough to be your mother, yeah.
You're so funny. Well, the experience makes us learn and the wisdom, but we would have never, like I just did it because naturally I'm an entrepreneur and I kind of do what my heart tells me to do, and I say if I know I feel it's right, I'm going to do it. But I would have never thought this many years would have gone by in between, you know? It's kind of like going, what? So I really believe in the self-help more. I mean, if I had my choice totally, I probably would do nothing but self-help. And then I hear mm-hmm. myself say that and say, I do have a choice, but I don't know. I intertwine it. So what happened is I said, I'm going to start the radio show. We had done another show before. I was testing live back in 07, and I just did a few, and people told me to keep going with it. And I said, no, I just want to test it. And the Blog Talk Radio, what I love about it is people can hear, listen anywhere in the world. So if you do an internet down podcast, I just love that. And the format's great. So we've been doing it for 3.5 years now. So I said, no, I'm going to split it up. And one of my friends, who's a pretty well-known speaker, told me, you cannot do that. That's just wrong. You've got to keep it all real estate.
Okay.
All whatever.
It's against the rules.
And I'm like, now remember, you're talking to the person who left my son's father with a 6-month-old baby and less than $100 at 18 years old, right?
There you go.
You're talking
mm-hmm.
to somebody who,
yeah.
no, somebody who was out on my own as a teenager, somebody who
yeah.
who picked up 15 years of business in Maryland, and I owned a lot of properties, and I was willing to come to Hawaii and give up a lot to come here, right? So
right.
for me, because I knew it was
yeah.
my soul, that no, I wanted to do that. Now, what happens is because I believe we. You know, home is where the heart is. A lot of stuff goes on behind closed doors, right, that nobody ever sees. We get to, in the real estate community, when you really do love the people and get involved and get it, we get involved in a lot of things in people's lives. We get to hear a lot. We get to see a lot. So for me, and community issues. We, you know, what's going on in the community?
Mm-hmm.
How can we help? When you roll it back, it does tie into homes and people and lives. So I just decided, no, I'm going to do it. I do it, and I do it. As it's progressing, it's an hour show, and an hour is not very long, you know. Now, We can put commercials, we can do all the spots, but I tend to just run it through the hour and not have any commercials, which, of course, an hour is long if you're doing a professional show and you've got your producers and they're slipping, and, you know, and they can, you know, they take 9 hours of film and cut it down into 10 minutes, right? If you're doing, or audio and production. So because right now the hour isn't long, we could end up splitting it up differently, or maybe just having the self-help 1 hour and then the real estate 1 hour, because I'm finding it's happening a lot where we don't have enough time in that 30 minutes to get done what we need to do. But still, the philosophy and all that, yeah. So it was kind of, so I don't know if people listen to it and think I have three heads. I'm sorry, but, you know, I think there's a lot of people we see listen to it, and people say it helps them, and they appreciate it. So that's kind of...
How do people tune into the show? How do they find you on the internet?
Okay. They can go to blogtalk.com/realtyuniversal. It's R-E-A-L-T-Y universal. So blogtalk.com/realtyuniversal. And and then realtyuniversal.com is our website, and we have other sites too, but they can find us that way pretty well.
And what time is your show?
Oh, my show's in Hawaii doing it right now, but it depends where I am. It's 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time. That's always consistent, or noon to 1 Pacific Time if you're in California. In Hawaii, we switch our clocks. I mean, we don't switch clocks like you guys do. So right now it's 9 to 10, and then the other time of the year it's 10 to 11. We actually have people listening in Europe, which is really awesome, which is 12 hours ahead. So, but it's 3 to 4 East Coast time. I know. I love that. I love where you know how the Blog Talk Radio works, where you see the downloads and you can see how many people listened, and we get a lot of archive listeners. So I think people love to be able to do it at their own convenience, which is wonderful. Yep.
That is really neat. It's really neat. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. I mean, so I know it's just one of those. It's interesting how we get to where we get in life, isn't it? And the journey.
It is, and it's wonderful the things that you find out about people that you would never guess. I find that. In talking with people, I find, you know, there are facets to their personality and their spirituality and everything that no one would ever imagine. I mean, you find people that are in an kind of an ordinary occupation, and here they have such a beautiful, rich spiritual life. So it's fascinating, and people who let go of a very well paying job that they hated, and now they may be just scraping together the rent every month, but they're loving every minute of their lives. So this is fascinating to me.
That's way more important, isn't it? It's hard to advise people, though, sometimes, you know, if they're supposed to stay or not. You know, if you hear some people get into a position and they hate it, and do you say to them, get out of it, or are they not given enough time, you know? It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say, you know, because isn't it, it's a journey. And, you know, the thing that's really difficult, and what you just said, is we're all different, even though we're all universally the same and et cetera, and everybody needs love and needs peace, and there's certain factors that are very common worldwide. We're all different. So you have the Picasso who's going to be painting, right? And then you have somebody who maybe a janitor absolutely adores his job because he's coming in contact with kids at a high school and able to communicate, right? So it's like...
Exactly.
I wish they would really... They have assessment tests, but they really, it's a journey, isn't it?
They're geared in certain ways that don't make sense on a spiritual level.
Really?
I
And I'm going to interview you right this minute real quick. I'm going to ask you now. Yeah, please elaborate on that. I like that.
Well, they're more geared into how can you perform in this given community, in this given industry, in this given way of life, and people's spirit is not considered. They, you know, there's never any question about what makes you happy.
Yeah.
There's no place in the assessment to what gives you the most joy.
That's true.
Would you rather bring home a six-figure check, or would you rather be able to look at something that's beautiful that you created
and love it? Absolutely.
Yeah. And just feel kind of like a mini god, you know. it's funny what makes you really, what makes people tick is one of those subjects that you could spend a few lifetimes in exploring it.
That's true. That is true. And life is short, you know. We've got people that could just go here and gone, and it's just unbelievable. Just in a blink of an eye. It's like it's very short.
It really
short.
Is.
We really do need to, live with passion.
Yeah.
And you know, some people... I ran into... Well, we got the end. It's the show's ending right now. I ran into somebody the other day that they said... The man said he was a crane operator for 28 years, and he absolutely adored his job. And he said he had other men at the work that hated it, and he would tell them, don't stay. And he said he tells his daughters, only do if you love it, you know? I guess it's
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. Very much so.
Yeah. So when you find something that you love, this is a big deal. It's really a big deal.
Yeah.
So if you could just sit down with the audience here and say anything that you feel like that is meaningful to you and that you would like to give to them, what would you say?
I guess I would just say follow your dream, listen to your heart, and never, never, never give up.
Sounds like good advice to me.
Yeah.
So here we are at the last minute.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I so appreciate it.
Well, I hope that your inspiring story is meaningful to the audience, and I hope that it will give other people the inspiration to look at life with different eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And to really look into their own heart and choose what is the most important thing to them, and how can they really be of value to themselves, their community, their world,
mm-hmm.
while still achieving their own dreams.
Absolutely. Not sacrificing everything. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not worth it. So we usually wind in with a little guided imagery. Would you like to do that
yeah,
with
I'd
us?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay. Close your eyes and tense your body. Just tense it tight. Oh, make your whole body a fist until you feel yourself trembling, and then it just collapsed like a rag doll. And just breathe and just become that breath and begin to float on that breath And as you float in deeper and deeper through the layers of consciousness, release everything that is interfering with your being the greatest you can be. And then float deeper as you go in, inward, to that safe, wonderful place where you feel the universal energy is all on your side. Nothing but freedom and power and love. And fill yourself with that inspiration. Give yourself the freedom to do the greatest things you can do and to be the best you can be and to encourage others to do that.
Wow.
And now, okay, now that you're so full and content and ready to go out and be the best you can be, stretch, take a deep breath, wiggle your fingers and toes, and back to what we mistakenly think of as normal consciousness.
We got to get back to the reality here? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
With new eyes, with new energy, and with new freedom.
And you know, I would love to say, everybody out there, you're a miracle. Realize it. You're totally a miracle, and you're awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I only have one other thing to say. We close this session with love and light.